family anymore.
All set?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Before we get going, if I could remind everybody to please turn off or silence their cell phones, pagers, etc. So if we can have a roll call.
Commissioner Madigan?
Excuse.
Okay. Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
And Supervisor Perez.
MIA.
Item one, approval of the September 16th regular meeting minutes. Supervisor Perez has arrived. Do I have any changes or discussion? Okay. Do I have a motion then? Any questions to approve?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Alrighty. Item C, consent agenda. We have nothing. So we can move on then to item D, which is public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. And as you see, we have new equipment.
Yay.
And we have a clock. So you will be timed officially. And we'll start with the first table. Joe, Marilyn, Judy, Carrie. Okay, second table. Liz.
Miss Kia.
Supervisor.
My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H, proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District, and this is probably the shortest you're ever going to hear from me. I would like to say thank you for the summary proceedings now have a little meat to the bone. It has some explanation about who made comments on what, and I thank you very much for that.
17
seconds.
Wow, it's a record.
Liz, the timer is already working.
Yes. Okay, continuing down that table. Anybody? Third table? Anybody? Fourth table.
Liz broke the clock.
And the very last table.
No.
Any comments? Way back there? Okay. All right. That ends public presentations. Next, we are on to staff announcements and reports. So, Mr. Cullen, you have the floor.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I want to bring a few things to everybody's attention that are in the director's report. First and foremost, our volunteers. I love our volunteers. Our volunteers have donated approximately 2,000 hours in September.
Wow. Amazing.
And that is a record for our volunteers.
Wow.
We currently have 114 active volunteers as of September. I can tell you that there was an orientation this past Saturday, and I believe we should be on target for about 149 active volunteers after this Saturday's orientation. And I gave volunteer coordinator Jeff George a goal of achieving 200 by the end of the fiscal year. So.
Jeez.
He's only 50, right? He did look at me like a deer in headlights. Our rescue team did coordinate the rescue and placement of 99 animals in the month of September.
Awesome.
Also, our foster program does continue to grow. We did see a reduction in the amount of new animals entering the foster care program, but that's simply because it's that time of year where we start to see a decrease, hopefully. But it's usually the time of year that we see a decrease in the amount of puppies and kittens that come in. But still 50 new animals.
Can I ask you a question? Why do you think that is?
Once the temperature cools off, the animals...
Breeding season stops.
Yeah.
Breeding season stops.
Law nature still rules their bodies.
Yeah. Got it.
To some extent. Also, our trap and release program is still going strong. We've just achieved 3,503 animals placed through the trap and release program. I like those big round numbers, 3,500 cats since 2013, July of 2013. Also, we hosted our fourth annual End Your Summer with Love, Wolfstock. I don't come up with the names. They're usually cute, though. The adoption promotion lasted the month of September. All dog adoptions were reduced to just $15. All cat adoptions were reduced to $5. We had a really good... we succeeded very well. We had a lot of success. We were supported by the community. We did 140 cat adoptions and 307 dog adoptions just in the month of September. That is an increase of 124% over the last same time period last year.
We like
that. Yes, we do. Moving right along, we were contacted by the Bakersfield Blaze back in September. They wanted us to come out and host an adoption event. It's not anything we had ever attempted before, but we liked the idea, and it was a relationship that we were able to start, and we're hoping that we can continue to have a presence at some of those Blaze games. We did bring out adoptable dogs. Unfortunately, we did not adopt any dogs, but we did bring them out, and it was a good event. We got good publicity, good marketing, and we had a lot of good positive feedback from the people who attended the game. Another significant number is we've achieved now over 10,000 microchips that have been implanted for free through our free microchip program, 10,059 to be exact. It's a good accomplishment. Our Petco collaboration, for those of you who don't remember, we started a collaboration with Petco back in August to have adoptable animals placed in Petco 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've, in about 7 weeks, adopted 62 animals through Petco. Also, something that we wanted to let everybody know, this is back in September, I believe, there was a story that kind of got some attention, and it was a little chihuahua that was in a tree.
Oh.
I thought it was about 40 feet up in the tree. Well, that did make national news. Actually, the United Kingdom. Was commenting on, so it was international. Yeah,
and what was the general consensus?
It was a cypress tree.
Yeah.
And what they call it. And because of the branches are so close together, he was able to sort of plinko his way up the cypress tree.
And what did people think around the world? Were they?
It was a dog. They all thought it was a dog. And the dog was trying to bite the firefighter. I guess he said it took so much time to get up here. Also, I did want to let you know that we finished our recruitment for our shelter supervisor position. Interviews are scheduled for tomorrow, so hopefully within a couple of days we will have a new shelter supervisor. And hopefully they'll be better than the last.
Local folks?
Yeah.
It is a department promotional, so it will be somebody within the department. That concludes the director's report, and I can answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Sharon. Hey, Nick, I just wanted to congratulate you on the 2,000 hours, and Jeff George, who's not here, I guess, but I think that's wonderful. And I see that it equates to about 11.6 staff members. That's wonderful. I did some numbers crunching before I came over here, as I usually do. You don't have a page 3, I don't believe, on, for some reason, my copy that I got here doesn't have page 3, but the intakes... Basically, page 3 compares the intakes of last year versus intakes of this year. Basically, within 100 animals, so it's the same almost. And if you skip to page 5, which you should have in your packet, the outcomes, which is what I like to look at, the outcomes, if you look at the total numbers, they're within 100 of last year, total outcomes. If you filter out the miscellaneous, which is what I do, because we don't know what happened, so I have to take those out of the equation, it gives us a percentage of live outcomes. I did want to say before I get to that, that the adoptions, if you look at month over month and year to date, from 2014 to 2015, were ahead by 624, which shows your promotions are paying off, and you guys are working really hard at doing this. $5, $15, it's a lot of work, a lot of paperwork involved in that, so I gotta commend you for the adoption part. And month over month, just last September to this September, it was basically doubled. So that's big. The rescue, then a little less than like 38 or so less. The return to owner is something I look at because that's like a family member in my book. So you're ahead by 74 from last year to this year, which is a 15% improvement. I like that. The euthanasia was almost the same, except the month over month you're 65 less, which is 10% less, which is the direction we want to head. But if you look at the live outcomes, filtering out the miscellaneous, which is what I like to do, 2014 year to date you're at 52.2, and I'm looking at this year at 53%. Is that about what you came up with?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we're making progress. It's slight, but we'll take it, right? We'll take any kind of an improvement. So maybe some of these things haven't gotten traction yet. Maybe these 3,500 TNRs haven't got total traction, but they're getting some traction. And that's kind of what happens on the no-kill models. All 11 pieces of this have to be working and working synergistically with each other. And I think we're seeing it. It's just coming slower than everybody wants, but you guys are working hard. And I want to commend all your work and your improvement. And that's it for me. Thank you.
And Commissioner Blackburn, through the chair, we, you know, we've reached a point in animal services where, you know, we're adopting out a considerable amount of animals. We're rescuing a considerable amount of animals. But we're at a point where we're trying to scratch another layer. Part of that is addressing some of the intake issues. And one of those intake issues is we take about 125 animals that are relinquished every month. So, you know, we're developing a sort of a diversion program for folks that are feeling the need to relinquish their animal. It's been a long time coming.
I like that.
But we're putting together the resources that are needed to address most common reasons for relinquishing an animal. It does not have the intent of refusing to take people's surrendered animals. It has the intent of offering solutions before they surrender their animals. I'm looking to begin that program in January 2016. So hopefully that'll have an effect on both the live outcomes as well as all other areas. I did lay down a challenge to my staff today. I set a few goals. We're going to work towards the end of this fiscal year increasing our return to owner rate from about 5% to about 7.5%. We've never really been over 5 or 6%. It's remarkable how many animal shelters across the nation all hover around the same paltry number of animals that are returned to their owner. So that's a goal that I handed out to the staff. I've also conveyed a goal to achieve on average over 125 animals in foster on average every month, where we're at about 85 right now a month. And I've also asked that we work towards reducing the amount of relinquished animals from approximately 125 a month to 75. So we're going to set some goals and hopefully achieve them, and then we'll go from there.
Nice. Excellent. I've got one other comment I can listen on.
There's always one.
There always is. Somewhere, I know you've got the chips, the microchips.
It's on the back. It's on the back there.
On the back? Okay. It jumped out at me today when I was reading over this. I thought, okay, that is another reason why the return to owner probably is probably improving, because they know who this animal is.
I think so, yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
I think it's a good thing. That was the point I wanted to bring up. Thank you.
And I will say that what that doesn't factor in is our rate of return to owner. That is over-the-counter return to owners. What it doesn't calculate is how many animals are found in the field that are microchipped and are transported back to their home.
That's under rate.
Correct. Okay. Those are under field staff statistics. So.
Okay.
but there are significant amount of these.
Excellent. I have a question. Excellent report, Director. Really appreciate your team's creativity, innovation. It's very pleasing. I'm curious about the volunteer hours. I see MAOF and Employment Preparation Volunteers. How is that going? And, has that been a smooth process? Does it need improvement? What's your overall assessment? How long have we been doing that? Because I really love that. I'm crazy about it. But I'm just curious how it's going.
We've been participating in both the MAOF and the EPP program for many years now. It wasn't until very recently, within the last 3 or 4 years, that we started making better use of the EPP workers and the MAOF employees as well. We used to limit what sort of job duties they were able to do. It was a very narrow scope of job duties they were allowed to do. Well, now they pretty much perform the same duties as an animal care worker.
Wow.
The only duties they don't perform are those that are restricted. They're involved in customer service, they're involved in data entry, they're involved in exams for animals, they're involved just about everything that an animal care worker does. And I think that's sort of a responsibility that when you participate in a program like that, these are folks that need job experience.
Right.
And if they're only there and have a narrow scope of work, then there's no sense in participating in the program.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give the folks that participate the tools they need to use the skills that they learn to translate into a job elsewhere. So.
Have any of them ever been hired by you, and is that something you see that's going to happen or could happen?
Yes, it has happened. Pretty more than a handful of times I've hired both an MAOF and an EPP worker.
Wow.
Actually, one of our animal control officers began as an EPP worker.
No kidding.
Was hired on as an extra help animal care worker, then was hired on as a permanent animal care worker, and then applied and was promoted to the animal control officer. So yes, it's a very successful program. We made good use of it.
Well, I can see why Liz Keogh approves of your leadership.
Most of the time.
Okay, very good. Very pleased.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Okay, then one last question. Actually, two last questions. On the foster care program, you've got 50 new animals. Who tracks the foster care? Because it's not really in the outcomes, because it's still, an interim kind of thing. But who's keeping track of, and how many do you have in the foster program altogether?
Our foster coordinator tracks the fosters. I have a report that I pull monthly that shows how many new animals enter the foster care program. There's approximately 120 animals in foster care right now.
Okay.
And it's a revolving door, because as animals come of age and they're adoptable, they get transferred back to the shelter for adoption or to Petco for off-site adoption, and then those people are available for new animals, as Judy will find out.
Okay. I've got another question. Okay, here's the deal. Obviously, space is really the problem that we have, and that's the reason that we have to euthanize after a certain number of days. What is the hold time, just to bring me up to speed and everybody else? When an animal comes in, how long are you by law mandated to keep them?
Okay, so it varies, but for a stray animal that comes in with no identification, no microchip, no tag, no identification, the hold time is 72 hours, and I'm going to quote the law,
72.
Which can get a little tough to understand sometimes. 72 hours, not including the day of impoundment.
Okay.
Also not including holidays, and not including days that the shelter is closed. So it's basically 4 working days before we can place that animal up for adoption.
Are we at capacity in the kennel and all your storage with the animals? Are we at capacity at this point, or is there still room? Is there room to add more capacity?
There is no room to add more capacity. By capacity, I assume you mean kennels. No, there's no more room for kennels. We packed as many kennels as we could. Yeah. But as far as animal capacity, we have been at or just under capacity as far as holding areas for quite some time. But it's starting to reduce now. I think that for the first time since the warm months began, we have just come under a total of 300 animals on site, which I think was 291. And every time I see that number come down below 300, I do a happy dance. So.
Yeah, I would too. Okay, I was just wondering, because since I don't work out there, I'm not sure of what infrastructure you have as far as capacity and everything. So if you're at total capacity, you're
That's what it is.
And there's always compartmentalization because there's an entire shelter capacity, but then it's compartmentalized too. I mean, there's a capacity for the cats, there's a capacity for the adoptable animals, there's a capacity for quarantine.
In each category.
In each different area, there's a capacity that we can hold in, and when we get to that number, that's when we start having to make some tough decisions.
Okay, thank you.
Questions, Commissioner Tager?
No.
Okay. I know we had a couple questions from the... Terry first.
I'm just wondering on the...
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh, Terry Kahn. Okay. I don't know what district. Tadgley.
What does MAOF stand for?
The Mexican American Opportunity
Foundation.
Okay, thank you.
Liz?
Is there a
identify?
Way... Pardon me?
Speak your name.
Your name.
Just Kia, K-E-O-G-H, proud resident of the 5th Super Visorial District. Is there a way to include the field return to owners in the monthly report? Because I think that's could be an incredible number, particularly to see it go up and see how it relates to microchip implanting.
Yes, we can do that.
That would be
I had the same thought. Liz beat me to the punch, but I had the same thought.
Yeah. If you could give us your name first, please.
Blake Hernandez, and I'm in 08. I don't know what district it is.
Third district.
So I know that the foster program has a lot of puppies, but is another percentage of that, like, very special care old dogs that aren't ever going to be adopted out, is that another portion of the foster program, or do those dogs reside in the shelter?
Most of our fosters at the moment are cats, kittens. It's probably about 75% cats, 20% dogs or puppies. We do occasionally have animals with special needs, you know, geriatric animals, animals that have just come from surgery, animals with an amputation, that we do line up foster for, but that's a very small number of animals that do go out to foster for those reasons. And it's sometimes it's a little difficult, challenging to get a foster that's willing to take care of an animal that's fully grown but needs some special care. So, yes, to answer your question, yes.
Any other questions? Okay.
I got a quick one.
Yes.
Maggie, are you getting the city stats?
Yes.
Okay, are we just not putting them out here anymore?
I believe we forgot to add them to the packet. Okay. We had a system down on Thursday and Friday, so we were trying to figure out how to send the packets out. And that I think that slipped off our radar because the network was down.
And are you getting them directly yet?
No.
Okay, I'll work on that.
Okay, then if I can have a motion to receive and file.
So moved.
Do I have a second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now, item F, commissioner announcements. Reports?
Not here.
Commissioner Taggart and I met before this meeting tonight to discuss our new emergency preparedness subcommittee, and we're trying to get some ideas on where to get started with it. We have requested to meet with Georgiana Armstrong in emergency management, but she's been a tad busy lately. So hopefully we can meet with her sometime next week and we'll get moving forward on this. But
I'll try to do any other stuff I have.
Okay. That's pretty much it.
Cool. Along those lines, can I ask if we could have that as a item under old business moving forward?
Old business?
Yeah.
Motivated.
You can count. Yeah. All right. Commissioner Blackburn?
I have nothing.
Commissioner
Taggart?
Thank you, everybody.
Commissioner Anderson, do you want it as emergency preparedness subcommittee?
Yes.
Okay.
In reports, where
do
you want to put that?
Okay.
Sure. Quick.
Judith Kaufman, Roseman. I'm on the board of directors of the California Federation of Dog Clubs, and we already have an emergency plan and supplies and funds. So check with us.
Okay.
Nice.
All right.
Love to hear that.
Thank you. All right. I got nothing, so that's it for commission reports. Okay, on to old business. We have no staff referrals. Spay neuter funds update.
We have one of those.
Okay, on the report, there's the one on top of your packet is the final report that you're going to receive for the funds received for fiscal year 14-15. We were able to do 3,916 surgeries with the funding that we received.
Yes, that is.
It didn't get added to your packet, so I'm sorry.
Didn't.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. So that comes to about, averages out to be about $58 a surgery. That's really good, I think. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to next year. And we're, if you go to the next page, this is where we are on the 15-16 fiscal year. We're already at 512 surgeries, and we're moving forward quickly now. So, and note the difference in the reports. Okay, this one's going to be a lot easier to keep track of, and we're going to have to make sure that we're using this funding appropriately and tracking to some degree where this is happening, but we're looking forward to moving forward with this. We're focusing more on what worked, our low-income vouchers. That was probably the most successful thing. And then we're also going to be doing and arranging for outlying clinics. So we've already been to Mojave this fiscal year. We're going to Boron the end of the month. Then we've got some Western Kern set up for the rest of the year. And then next year we're going to get into some of the other outlying areas. So we'll make sure we catch everybody. So, any questions?
I have a question. What is the remaining, for example, Supervisorial District $5,000, $1,400 go? Do you go back into the pot and then we continue to reallocate that?
Well, if you look at the total, we actually, there was places that were over, there's places that were under. So we ended up actually spending $416 total more, and that came out of the Animal Control General Budget. So that's.
Does that just mean that my 1,000 was then just relinquished?
It was shared.
It went to low income vouchers. And we also, in the meantime, we also changed the rule, the ruling from the rules from we added your Lamont district to what was one of the target areas. So, I'm sure that $1,000 was covered by Marley's Mutts when they were out there, and so.
Okay.
So it's buried somewhere else.
Okay.
But we didn't ignore you.
Okay.
So one of the discussions we always have is, okay, we've got to take care of this supervisor. This takes care of all these supervisors. So we know that.
That's my job.
We get to balance all those things.
Whoa. That's what happens when you talk about the supervisors.
It always gets in control.
Be very careful.
I always get in control. I got shocked.
Thank you for that.
Okay. Any other questions about this part of what we do? Looking forward to another year.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be
good. Bigger and better.
We appreciate all your work on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Blake.
Madam Chair, may I make a comment?
Of course, Ms. Keogh.
Thank you. 1:17. One of the things that Director Cullen brought up a few months ago, as I recall, and which may account for the usage and issuance of the low-income vouchers, and I think he should get credit for it, is, did you not used to go on 100% of the federal poverty level? Mm-hmm. And then you decided to go to 200%. So instead, for a family of two, say, what the poverty level was before that made them eligible, if they were just at that 100% level, they couldn't get a voucher. By raising it to 200%, now they and a whole bunch of other people are eligible for, obviously asking for and obviously using the vouchers. And I think Director Cullen deserves credit for thinking ahead on those lines. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keough. Okay, on to our last item, which is friends, or close to the last item.
Okay, and we're still doing spaces. Yeah, this was instructive. This was the bill. This is Critter's bill this month. This is 89 cats and 27 dogs. And the rest of the bills, there's just a few. So it's $2,880 for 101 cats and 28 dogs, and that's just last month what's been billed from last month.
Do you want to go to the mic?
No. No.
That was a
We have this fancy equipment. We have to.
Yes, I know. Stand back from it, though. And then Liz has been beating on the city because the cat. We're pushing dogs. My first question is, cat or dog, are you in the city if it's a dog? And apparently the city's going to run out of money when? Mid-December-ish?
Yeah. Mid-January.
Yeah, at the rate that we are pushing, and that's exactly why we're doing this. We want them to use their money, so they put some more money up there, and she's going yelling at them on a regular basis, so that may happen, because we spend more on vouchers than the city does, which is just insane, because year-to-date we have issued 610 dog vouchers and 1,123 cats. We are also, there was an article in the Kern Valley Sun today about the, it's a long name, the Kern River Valley Community Cats Snip and Tip program that we're starting up there. We've raised a little over $500 so far. Hopefully that article will generate some more income, because even with taking a few to the county once a week, we're still going to need a boatload of money to... There's over 500 cats that have been identified so far up there in feral colonies. And that's not... Their numbers are still coming. That's like $27,000 at Critter's rate. So, yeah, it's just that's a lot. So we're working on raising some money and start doing TNR for ferals up in the Lake Isabella area. And Saturday, we will be out at the pet fair at the fairgrounds. If you need vouchers, come and get them. We'll be there. 10 to 4. This was at Building 3. And as far as I know, it's free to get in. So I think there's 40 of the vendors out there. So it's the first time we've been in that, so I don't know what else we're doing, but there's that. Let's see, what else? Oh, kitty litter boxes. 30 kitty litter boxes showed up, and 3 smaller size digital scales for the foster care program. Also to KCAS this month. And so far, nobody's asked for anything else so far, so we'll see where we're
still
at.
Still early.
It's still early in the month, yes.
That's it. Thank you, Judy. No new business. So we're on to adjournment, which will allow people to go watch baseball.
Woo-hoo. Yes. Go
so,
Mets.
So if I have a second, all in favor? Any opposed? We'll see you next month on November 18th. Thank you for coming.
Wow. 94 Cubbies. 94 Cubbies.